Once I hated this city, now it can't get me down. Slushy, humid, and gritty, what a pretty town. What thought I could be duller, more depressing, less gay? Now my favorite color is gray. A wall of rain as it turns to sleet, the lack of sun on a one-way street. I love the grime all the time, and what more do I need? My window pane has a lovely view.
Donna McKechnie, the Tony Award-winning star of A Chorus Line, returns to Barrington Stage Company in her concert Same Place, Another Time, a musical deja vu celebrating the scintillating 70s in New York City. She takes a personal spin on the ingenue coming to New York, finding love and success and losing her innocence, perhaps, but never her spirit. Some Place, Another Time will kick off this summer's spectacular lineup at Mr. Finn's Cabaret at BSC. She'll perform the show at 8 o'clock on Sunday, May 22nd, and Monday on the 23rd. So this coming Sunday and Monday, it is a great pleasure to welcome Donna McKechnie back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. It's a delight to have you back on the program.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you this morning.
Very nice to have you. So how long has this particular show been in place?
A little more than a year. I was inspired to do this show when I went to this new supper club, 54 Below, for the first time to see a friend. And I literally walked in the room and had this deja vu experience because it brought back the time after Chorus Line opened and we would all go with our makeup on to the Studio 54 and bump into Diana Vreeland and Nureyev and Andy Warhol and Liza and Halston and all the bold names. And also a recollection of my first apartment in New York City was on 54th Street across the street. And it just felt like a wonderful reflection to go back in time and think about New York in those days and find the journey in that memory. And it was fabulous to put it together. I revisited some wonderful music of the time with Jim Croce and Melissa Manchester and the Bergmans, and even a couple of Irving Berlin songs got in there.
It seems as though when you put something like this together, does a whole rush of things come in, and then you have to do some curating as to what you want and tell the story that you want to tell.
It's telling that story in this highly creative way the hard part is making the selections and really keeping focused on what you're saying. And you never know completely. It morphs into other things. In fact, I never expected to put a therapy session on stage. It's the first time I've ever done that. But because that was a time when, you know, my heart was broken for the first time, it was all these firsts. And the first time I went to therapy, I call the talking cure, and I found this wonderful song that Elaine Stritch had told me about years ago, from a show she did called Goldilocks, and she said, you have to sing this song someday, so I reclaimed that with a lot of affection. I didn't plan to take the journey in quite that particular way, but I found all these, it was just a wonderful experience to then you get stuck in your therapy session, and then you go, well, where do I go from here? What happened next? So I was just as curious as anyone might be to see it. So that was fun for me. And of course, all my favorite, the Sondheim experience, working with Sondheim, I have an affinity for his music. Also Marvin Hamlisch, there's a number that I was able to do with the help of John McDaniel, who did a beautiful arrangement for At the Ballet.
Yeah.
Because you know, as these stories were of the dancers inspired Marvin and Ed Cleban to write the songs for A Chorus Line, my childhood memory really took place, I mean, as we did the interviews with at the ballet, even though I didn't sing that song in the show. So we found a way for me to present it with my personal memories that I share with the audience.
Without getting overly personal, your time, when you talk about therapy, was that at the height of the Chorus Line success?
No, I started therapy before Chorus Line, and I was way too busy when I was doing a Chorus Line, 8 shows a week. And and after the fact, I think after the fact, that's when I went, you know, I was a young teenager when I first came to New York, and I talk about that, too, in the song that I heard played earlier.
Yes.
What More Do I Need, the Sondheim, because I was a little ballet dancer who was 15 who came to New York and was terrified. It was really scary. So I go back, and I had the good sense to, you know, save my pennies and go to therapy to talk to someone about my fears and my what I was doing and how to take care of myself and emotionally, you know. That was one of the good things I did in my life, and it was very much a part of my growing story. So then after Chorus Line, I knew where to go when things got really bumpy. That became a character in the show, and the song I do from the Goldilocks, you know, kind of sits perfectly there.
Because I can imagine, I would think, that nothing could prepare you for success like that. Success, I mean, Broadway had really never seen
You know, it was a very insular experience doing those workshops, and I had some experience in theater performing in shows like How to Succeed and Company and Promises, that I had a sense of how what we were doing, but no one, not even Michael Bennett, who admittedly said I had no idea how far-reaching this show is, we didn't realize what a powerful metaphor this was for other people, that it wasn't just the insular world of show business that people could relate to and just enjoy dancing for dancing's sake. It touched people in a primal way, and people identified with it. And it's still running all over the world today, you know, and all these years later. In fact, I'm going up to Stratford. They're doing a wonderful production up there. I'm going up in July to see it. And, you know, nobody knew then, yes. We knew when I first heard the song at the ballet, which is the first song that the company heard is together, I knew that out of this kind of horrible workshop, it was tedious because it was all this, you know, dancers talking about their miserable lives. And it was really, I thought, where is this going to go? when Marvin and Ed came in and played at the ballet for the first time, that's when it lifted us. And that's when I realized that this could be a work of art for that song alone. And then everything was uphill after that. And being able to take that show from the Newman Theater, the Shakespeare Public Theater, and bring it uptown was, it was the only opening night I never had stage fright or nerves because it was a celebration. The audience had already seen it, you know, 5 times, and it was a truly wonderful thing to make that journey. I'm very proud of this show. It's played in over 30 countries and about as many languages, and I've done it in 4 countries, not languages.
You know, I have to say the
English.
I had seen the show, but I didn't see you in it when I first saw it in the, I guess it was early 1980s. And then
for about not that long because we went to Los Angeles for about a year, 14 months. But I was able to come back 8 months later. I came back 10 months later, not 10 years. I must be waking up. I came back. I don't know if that's ever happened. I was able to come back 10 years later when the Cassie at that point in time, 1987, got pregnant. And so Joe Papp called me because he knew I had stopped dancing for a while. I had a very serious condition of rheumatoid arthritis that
right.
it practically crippled me. And this is when I went back to therapy, believe me. It was a desperate situation. But I started dancing again. I found a way of, by alternative medicine, to get myself out of this deep, dark place, and also with the help of therapy, which brought me back. Joe Papp called me and said, I hear you're dancing again. Would you like to come to New York and do the show again? And I jumped at the chance. So to open the show again 10 years later in the same run and the same theater was such a personal victory that I was able to write a book called, because the story was so much bigger than my personal story. I wanted to help other people with facing adversity like this, that they could not give up on themselves and see the other end, you know, see themselves through this. If I could do it, I felt I could give hope to someone else to fight these things in life.
Right.
So that book came out in 2007. I was, you know, forever grateful for Joe Papp to bring me back. And I haven't stopped since.
I tell this story a lot, and I just and nobody ever believes me when I tell it. But you're the one person who can back me up on this. I saw a production of you in A Chorus Line at the Valley Forge Music Fair, A Chorus Line in the Round.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Now, nobody believes that because they just don't think it would work. But you pulled it off, and it. Incredible to see.
That was the last time I ever did the show.
Yeah.
That was the
end. I can see why that would end it.
We, did a brilliant job. We were in Europe together. We came back to that national tour, and that was the swan song for me. But I went, oh, my gosh, this will be another challenge. And I'm so glad you said that because that was a concern. I kind of made it like Alice through the Looking Glass. So it's like the magic of theater. If you hold your hand like you have a hat in it, people will think you have a hat in your hand, you know?
Right.
And I thought, well, if I look at the center of the stage, the circle, and I look at it like it's a reflection, there's a mirror there, maybe they'll believe me. So That was wonderful. So we had a great company of dancers, and I'm really glad you saw that.
I did, and we're thrilled that you're coming to the region. You'll be at Mr. Finn's Cabaret at Barrington Stage
yes.
Company in Pittsfield, and you've been so great to them, and it's such a great area. Same place.
Oh, I love it up there. I love I love the Great Barrington Stage. I mean, I love all the work they do up there. It's thrilling for me, really.
Really good stuff. It's same place, another time. It's this coming Sunday and Monday at 8 o'clock. You can find information, which is posted along with this interview, at wamc.org/roundtable. Donna McKechnie, a great pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank
Be
you
well.
So much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.